Hello, my name's Matt. Thank you for clicking on this week's talk, joining us to prepare for this coming Sunday, Easter Sunday. I hope we can journey together a bit this week with the disciples. Journey from the table to the garden, from the table of the Last Supper to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed in the hours before he was arrested. And then from the garden to the foot of the cross. That's quite a journey. By the way, you can listen to this talk in one go, but then later in the second half of the talk, I will call out a few points where you can pause, if you want to, for a minute or a day as we step through the journey. This stepping through is an age-old Christian discipline. From carnivals that light up the town to reflective personal pilgrimages, stepping through and contemplating this Holy Week, the week before Easter. But before we set off, let's gird our loins and fill our hearts with the prayer that Jesus himself prays and which he taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. You. Your name, your kingdom, your will. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Us, our sins, our hurts, our deliverance. You, us. A prayer worth contemplating this Holy Week. Because the two movements of this wonderful prayer give us a glimpse into the heart of Jesus, how he lives and how he breathes. Reminding us of that scene when the Sadducees try and catch him out. Master, which is the greatest of all commandments? They ask Jesus, who never wastes words but seems to give two answers. He replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." This, of course, is the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, the daily Jewish prayer. Acknowledging God, loving God, first and foremost, you. This, says Jesus, is the greatest and first commandment. But he hasn't finished. He's about to deepen our understanding, their understanding of what loving God is. He continues, and the second is like unto it. What does he mean? Like unto it, just as important, or it's the same thing. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. Us. This is his prayer, his daily prayer, his life's journey. This loving union that he invites us into. Before all else, intimacy with God and intimacy with those made in his image. Yes, all of humanity. So, I've entitled this talk, Stepping Stones, A Melody in F. And I know this is very cheesy. And my dear wife Helen will be cringing right now. But it's how the Lord led me to think about a few words beginning with F. Easy stepping stones to help us come alongside Jesus this week to experience something of what his dear friends experienced from the table to the garden. What did they see in him? What did they learn? You may feel you've known Jesus as an intimate friend for years. Or you may feel you knew him once, but he seems distant these days. Or you may feel you're just beginning to know him a little bit. Or you may not be sure you know what that even means or what you're doing here. Or like me, you may feel a mixture of all these things. Well, welcome, dear friend. Loving God, help us on our journey through this Holy Week. Deeper into you, deeper into us. Okay, so the first F, our word for Monday, is feet. Feet. Where does our journey begin? Well, let's begin right where it began for Peter and all the friends of Jesus as they gathered for supper. Like all Jews for the previous 1500 years and to this day, to celebrate the Passover feast, to remember the blood of the Lamb and how God spared his children from death that terrible night in Egypt when the captive slaves were set free, where death passed over and new life and new freedom was born. Here, in this room, Peter and all the 12 friends and you and me are invited to take our place at the table. And who's at the head of the table? Well, it's Jesus, Almighty God, made flesh. Think on it, the one who's wowed us, who's wowed the crowds. He's known you and loved you and taught you so richly. He's shown you the very face of God. And now he invites you to his table. And then what does he do? It's John chapter 13, the first dozen verses. Jesus knew the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. He got up and took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now this is the job, of course, for the lowest of the lowest servants. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't realise now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." "Oh, no, 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 no," said Peter. "No, you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Well, unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Oh, then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and my head as well." We love Peter, don't we? He's all over the place, but he's all in. And when Jesus talks to Peter, he's talking to us, his church. Jesus is showing us what union with him and union with the Father looks like. Our humble, sacrificial King is kneeling before us. It is actually quite scandalous. Will you let him wash your feet? Tax collector, beggar, prostitute, Pharisee, he sees us. He sees you and he loves you and he wants to wash your feet. And nothing else will make sense on our journey this week. There is no comfort in the rest of our journey this week unless you let him wash your feet. This is intimate and personal. It's a love beyond words. So, slip your shoes off. He knows every contour of your tired and bruised and dirty feet. How will we respond to the offer of grace?
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned on me.
Let's pause at the end of Monday to reflect as the Lord washes our feet. Loving God, I receive your tender love. Your grace astounds me. And now, with our feet washed, let's prepare for the next three steps on our journey of Holy Week. The second F, our word for Tuesday, if you like, will be frailty. Our third F, on Wednesday, will be frustration. And our fourth, on Thursday, will be fear. F, 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 how we now descend from the intimacy of the table. We could linger for a lifetime at that table at the Last Supper, but we're not going to. This extraordinary meal has filled our hearts. As our feet luxuriated in the cool afterglow of the Saviour's washing, we've reclined awestruck as he remakes every symbol of the Passover meal. The bread, the cup, the bitter herbs. Only the sacrificial lamb seemed to be missing at the table, though later we'll understand. His teachings filled our hearts and our minds as we ate at that table. From John chapter 13, as I've loved you, so you must love one another. Into chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And on into chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches, now remain in my love. And then into chapter 16, I'm going away. But I will send my Holy Spirit to take from what is mine and make it known to you. And finally, in prayer in chapter 17, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Wow. Knowing him. Just one meal. Five chapters of John's Gospel. And as we sat at that table, didn't we just feel a little of the same passion as Peter? Who, when Jesus said at the start of the meal in John 13, I'll be with you only a little while longer. And where I'm going, you can't follow now. You can follow later. And Peter cries out, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Oh yeah, sometimes our hearts are on fire. And Jesus answered his dear friend, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows this very night, you will disown me three times. I wonder if these words lingered through the rest of the Last Supper. Peter slightly hurt. How could Jesus say that to me? And yet he knows you. In the next three stepping stones on our journey, we see exactly what Jesus knew about his dear friend Peter as he knows about us. We betray him in our frailty, in our frustration, and in our fear. So, our second F, our word for Tuesday, is frailty. After supper, Jesus set out, as usual this week while he was in Jerusalem, each day teaching in the temple, praying each evening, spending the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. As usual, he set out to pray. But this fateful evening, his friends go with him to the garden. He desperately wants us there. And what follows in Matthew chapter 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, is one of the most powerful scenes in all of Scripture, sometimes called the agony in the garden. Straight after the Last Supper, Jesus, the most calm and wise and authoritative figure you will ever know, breaks. Effectively, he has a panic attack. He said to his friends, this is Matthew's version, from chapter 26, verse 36. "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." It's not much to ask, is it? Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground. His very heart and his body gave way. And he prayed, "My Father." Yes, "My Father who art in heaven." He prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup of suffering be taken from me." Just for a moment. For a moment, it seems like a me, me, me prayer. This is Jesus' dark night. Some say it's worse than the crucifixion itself. He feels terrified and isolated and abandoned and separated from God. This is hell. He's frail, just for a moment. This is a stunning picture of God made flesh. My God, why have you forsaken me?" The first line of Psalm 22 is what he'll cry out on the cross. Jesus knows in this intense moment, our friend Jesus has to know what it means to suffer. This agony in the garden, this agony on the cross, is all about solidarity as well as salvation. This God who washes your feet, loves you so much, he becomes you. He steps right into the agony of the human condition before he overcomes it. You see, his prayer in the garden is not finished. Just like Psalm 22 on the cross begins with a sense of despair, "Why have you forsaken me?" It doesn't end with it. It ends, "All will kneel before you. All will proclaim your righteousness." This is how the psalm ends, as Jesus well knew. Just as his prayer in the garden continues, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." His obedience, his cry of "you, you, you," despite it all. Jesus, at the height of his frailty, cries, "Thy will, not my will, be done." And how do we respond? How do we follow in his footsteps in our moments of frailty? All Jesus asked was for his friends to stay awake. And then verse 40, he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "The spirit is willing, but the body is frail." And of course, then Peter falls asleep again and again. He denies his friend Jesus, just as we deny him. "In my weaknesses and my addictions and my ego and my defensiveness, wherever frailty overcomes me." Let's pause at the end of Tuesday to reflect where we, like Peter, fail to stay awake. Jesus, in my moments of frailty, teach me to respond as you did. Your obedience overwhelms me. And now, our third F, our word for Wednesday, is frustration. While his friends sleep, the Gospel of Matthew continues, 26:47. Judas arrived, and with him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him, the prearranged signal on this dark night. And Jesus replied, "Friend." And the translation of the Greek's interesting. "Friend, for what you came." I don't think Jesus is being ironical here. There's love and sorrow, not anger, in his eyes at his friend's betrayal. Of course he sees the cosmic clash unfolding, the whole of scripture coming true before our eyes, but it's not about scapegoating Judas. Jesus said at the Last Supper, Matthew 26:23, he says, "The one who dips his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." This is the Middle East. His friends are all dipping their pita breads, their flatbreads, into the bowl. They're all sharing the bitter herb. The deep, deep personal tragedy of Judas is not that he betrayed Jesus. We all do. It's that he didn't fall at Jesus' feet right now in the garden and just say, "I'm sorry. Do you still love me?" Because we can have no doubt how his friend Jesus would have replied. Loved him to the end. I just imagine those eyes, that heart of Jesus, ready to wash Judas's feet all over again, as he had done at the Last Supper. The scandalous offer of grace, still available, but not taken. How does Jesus respond to Judas? Does he say, "Oh, after all I've done for you," and of course not. Or the chief priests who hate him, though he's the very fulfillment of all they purport to live for. Does he say, "You idiots, you've got no clue"? Of course not. He's as gentle as he is authoritative. No frustration. No self-indulgent lashing out. And how about Peter? How about us? How do we respond in our moments of frustration, where Jesus models patience and calm and forgiveness, even when put upon in the most unjust and degrading ways? How he implores us, his friends, to serve, to forgive, to be gentle, to usher in his upside-down kingdom, in a world where might is right, where justice is revenge, to be set apart. How does Peter respond? He grabs his sword and he cuts off the servant's ear. He was aiming for his head. He wanted to kill him, but he missed. Oh yeah, he wanted to kill him, fighting the injustice, lashing out with right on his side. And Jesus says, "Peter, put your sword back in its place. Were you actually listening at the Sermon on the Mount?" No, he doesn't say that. We don't kill our enemies, Peter. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Peter, Peter, you've denied your friend Jesus again, just as I deny him. In my lashing out, my resentment, bitterness and unforgiveness, where frustration overcomes me. Let's pause at the end of Wednesday to reflect where we, like Peter, lash out.
Doubt.
Jesus, in my moments of frustration, teach me to respond as you did. Your obedience inspires me. And now, our fourth F, our word for Thursday, is fear. Fear. Now the garden is truly dark for the friends of Jesus. Our tender, brilliant teacher of the Last Supper is arrested. He's bound by the enemy. And our hopes and our dreams crumble under the authority of this world. The earthly realm ruled by Roman military might and the Jewish religious establishment. The odds are impossible. It's all over. And I'm scared. And in my fear, I lose trust in the promises of the friend I love. Yet Jesus is back to his authoritative self. He's reasoning with the crowd. Am I leading a rebellion that you come with swords and clubs? He's teaching the crowd. This has taken place so the writing of the prophets may be fulfilled. His identity, his purpose, his union with God is unshaken. He's come through the dark night of the soul, beyond fear. He's lived out Psalm 42. From verse 5, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him." This is how he responds to frailty, to frustration, and to fear. "My soul is downcast within me," the psalmist sings. "Therefore I will remember you. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. And yet, and always, you. The stunning Psalm 42 foretells the impending crucifixion. Jesus knows it. Verse 10, "My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day, 'Where is your God?'" And he repeats, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? By night, the Lord's song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." He knows exactly who he is and where he stands. What an extraordinary response to fear. Even the darkest night cannot break his obedience, his union with God. And Peter? And friends? By contrast? The agony in the garden ends with one abrupt line at verse 56. "Then all the disciples deserted him and fled." The third spectacular denial. Fear. Long before the cock crows, before they even leave the garden, Peter has denied him three times. In his sleepy frailty, in his sword-wielding frustration, and now in his abject fear. You've got to love Christianity. This, one of the most profound moments in all of Scripture, our faith takes great care to record the total lack of courage and integrity of its founding leadership team when compared to Jesus, the one they serve. In John's Gospel, it seems like an age ago, but in Matthew's dramatic account, it was only 20 short verses ago, in verse 35, that Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Total lack of courage and integrity when compared to Jesus, the one we serve. Let's pause at the end of Thursday to reflect where, like Peter, we are afraid.
I will come to you in the silence.
Jesus, in my moments of fear, teach me to respond as you did. Your obedience overwhelms me. And now, our fifth F, our word for this Friday, this terrible, traumatic day, is follow. Follow. Sometimes words aren't enough. I don't know about you, but I've been shredded this week. We set out, our feet aglow, filled with the grace and the love of Jesus, and then things just fell apart. His perfect love and obedience, a mirror on our shortcomings. We let him down. Yes, he washed our feet, but we let him down in frailty, frustration and fear. And yet, he loves us. Us, us, us. He does it all for us. Things move fast this Friday. In a dozen short verses in Matthew 27, the sweep of all scripture and all history comes to a climax as Jesus is mocked and beaten and crucified, and in verse 50, breathes his last or gives up his spirit. Our friend is dead. In verse 51, and at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The barrier that separated us from union with God, that prevented us from looking at the face of God, at that moment of love and suffering, the perfect union between us and our God, designed in the Garden of Eden but broken by our sin, at that terrible, beautiful moment, all is somehow restored. Creation trembles. Verse 51. The earth shook and the rocks split. This terrible Good Friday is when the Almighty you dies to himself for us, us, us. So how can we respond as friends of Jesus at the foot of the cross? Perhaps for Peter, he went back to the very start, the very first thing he heard Jesus say, that day beside the Sea of Galilee, back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Come, Jesus said, follow me. And they left their nets and they followed him. Now, Jesus didn't actually say, worship me, though I think we should. And he didn't say, study me, though I think we should. He said, follow me. And that's way harder. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves. Take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Follow me. From the table to the garden to the cross. Follow me. Dying to me in total obedience to you. Giving everything for us, us, us. Love God and love your neighbour. To understand this love is to participate. To understand the cross is to participate. It's to follow. Let's pause at the end of Friday to reflect.
When I survey the wondrous cross,
Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, blessed are we who are called to your supper. Jesus, I want to follow you. Your sacrifice overwhelms me. And now our sixth F, our word for Saturday, is fellowship. Fellowship. Saturday's a day to linger. To linger with the Lamb of God, the God of the Passover, who calls us to his supper, by whose blood we are saved, who washes our feet, whose grace is enough. This choral music was introduced to me by lovely Farnham Vineyard friends in a small group a couple of years ago. Isn't it wonderful when we gather as a whole family or in small groups, virtually or best of all, and now again at last, face to face. Gather to encourage and nourish each other, to wash each other's feet, to share and to face our frailties and frustrations and fears. How the disciples must have clung to each other that Saturday, straight after the crucifixion, not knowing how the story was going to end. And yet in all their despair, they had each other, and their friend and master Jesus had taught them to seek his face by loving and sharing life with each other. Give us this day our daily bread. No, I've got bread. Yeah, but has your neighbour? And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I've been pretty good today. Well, have you forgiven those who haven't been? And have you really been good in the eyes of others? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, I haven't been tempted today, really? Really? Well, there's frailty and frustration and fear aplenty, and it's coming your way. Clinging to each other, not as an exclusive club, but as an inclusive movement, loving everyone. Our love in our hearts spilling into the streets and the homes and the shops and the offices and the parks of Farnham and beyond. Carnival for everyone. Because of course this Holy Week we know what's coming. We can live together in the joy of today, knowing what is coming tomorrow. Facing our frailties and frustrations and fears in fellowship together, allowing our feet to be washed by the grace of God. Following our precious friend, picking up our cross.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
As we pause at the end of Saturday and as we prepare for Sunday, let our hearts swell with joy.
Striving seas, my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand.
Swell with joy as we remember our friend Jesus and what he's done for us. Because yes, we know what's coming. For our final F is freedom. Freedom. May the Lord bless you this Holy Week. Happy Easter to you, dear friends.
There in the ground his body lay. light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth.